DJ Patterson, thank you so much for coming on the Pints and Polishing Podcast.
What's up?
What's cracking,
not a
man?
Whole lot, man. You know, just still working.
Still working.
Still grinding.
And we've got Steve, the man from Shine Doctor. Hey, Steve, thank you so much for taking the time to come onto our podcast. I know you're right in the middle of a massive project. Give us a quick little elevator pitch. What are you doing on this car that you got?
This is a 56 Dodge Coronet I've been working on since Sunday. Was a restoration, paint restoration job, which it was a massive undertaking. The guy had been to multiple detailers. Nobody would touch it. And so it has the original, it's an acrylic, not acrylic, it's an enamel that comes out of Ohio back then. They used to put on airplanes also. And the only way to correct these cars, really, in theory, because it's so hard, is to sand them down. And so I killed two birds with one stone because I had to get rid of probably about a half a mil of oxidation off of the paint. They paint these thick. And
wow.
So I was able to sand past that, sand past the defects, and then rotary out the rest of the paint. So just a massive undertaking, and I'm pretty happy to be done with this thing.
Well, thank you. I mean, like I said, I know you're right. You're towards the end of it, but you're still there. So thank you for taking the time out. DJ, I know you. What do you have in there? You've got a car you're working on tonight, stay in the late night hour. So you're also taking time out. What do you got in your shop?
Just say GT350 Mustang Shelby. I don't know, man.
Come on. Mine's done.
Yours is done?
Yeah.
I'll trade you now.
That's cool. So anyway, thank you guys so much. I myself just got through mowing the yard. So I think, Steve, you said you mowed the yard earlier. We have a tradition as I mow the yard, it kind of DJ and I's favorite little mix. So I've got to finish that off, and then we'll get into our beer. DJ, have you tried the beer yet?
I have. It's not,
what do you
think? Not what I thought it would be. So I thought it was going to be like a really like sweet honey, and I was kind of, you know, hesitant on it. But it's good. It's just a nice summer beer.
So it's Rogue Honey Kolsch. So, Steve, we know you said you don't drink. That's kudos to you. But so we wanted to still get a beer from somewhere up in your area.
Yeah.
And so Rogue is a brewery up by you. I think they're in Washington, if I'm not
mistaken. Rogue
is
in Oregon, so it's the Rogue River.
Yeah. Oregon, yeah.
Right on the it's right on the border of Oregon and Washington. It's a very popular river, actually.
Cool. All right, so let's dive in. Steve, tell us, I know you. We've done a couple different little Instagram stories or Instagram lives together. But tell everybody who you are, who is Steve? How'd you get started? Why'd you get into detailing? Give us a little pitch on, what's the story behind Steve?
A little pitch. So I guess I'm 40. I'll be 41 this month, and I've been detailing on since I was really old. Really wasn't detailing. I was doing paint work and full restoration jobs on hot rods growing up with my dad. And he'd have me stand on cars when I was 5 or 6 years old and polish out with a rotary at 7. So it's just kind of an extension. And it's something I've been doing for a long time. And I left it all together and pursued other careers like law enforcement and working for tire.
Hey, sorry, I'm getting a lot of background noise from somebody.
It's definitely me getting another beer, so I'm sorry.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I couldn't hear everything you were saying.
So anyways, so I did a lot of restoration work with my dad as a kid, and I left doing kind of restoration and detailing altogether, and I went to your day-to-day jobs and stuff like law enforcement and mechanic and stuff like that, and kind of a drag because I get tired of people telling me what to do. And so I quit my job, law enforcement, stay home with my daughter, and got kind of stir crazy and said, well, I know how to paint correct, and detailing is something I did on and off in high school for buddies, stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, cleaning a car is not rocket science for me. So I said, oh, I'll just incorporate both of them. And I I started my business out of my garage, and now I'm in a shop. And,
so tell me about law enforcement. I mean, how long were you in law enforcement? What did you do?
I was in the Investigative Services Bureau for the Washington State Patrol. I did auto theft and sex offender crap and just odds and ends.
Why didn't you like it?
That part I didn't mind too much. But when I started getting into the fatality collision stuff like that,
That's
where it kind of gets kind of a drag and starts burning you out. But and then I just straight up went into this public disclosure, and that was really boring. So I bounced around within law enforcement for a while, and just got burnt out. And I did it for about 8 years, and that was done, and I just couldn't do it no more.
So what made you decide, like, you just, because you had cleaned some people's cars before, is that what you said? Is that why you wanted to?
No, well, what really was happening is I had been home with the kids for about 2 years. And so I was getting squirmish, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, I'm just staying home all day. I'm not doing shit. What am I worth? And you just kind of, you kind of beside yourself for a little while. So, I was like, you know, I want to do something I love to do, and I really like doing paint correction. And so I said, I'll go ahead and do some detailing at first. I didn't really incorporate paint correction at first. Detailing is a really easy way to start with, and that's what I did. And then I incorporated paint correction a little bit later into that, because the detailing and the paint correction comes together, because the car pulls up. You're cleaning it, and you look at it, and you tell them, your paint's not looking so hot, you know. So, they, you know, and you just kind of work with people.
So, but now do you do detailing, or do you only do the correction?
I do, out of all of the stuff that I do, I'd say about 50% of my work is detailing, and the rest is paint correction. So, I don't do too much detailing anymore. I'm the guy in town that fixes paint. And I'm the old.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a great. So DJ laughs at me all the time, because he will actually, if I, you know, I don't do a whole lot of cars, but I still do some. And if I do them and he catches me cleaning the insides, it's a miracle.
Oh, I'm like, what is hell frozen over or what? What are you doing with, why are you on the interior of a car? Are you backing out of the garage or what? Why is the vacuum turned on?
Yeah, there's times, Steve, it's so funny. Like, he's like, you're not even going to, like, wipe down the inside? I'm like, no. Like, they had me do the outside.
Still pay him. I'm like, hold on. Here's the crazy thing.
DJ will actually vacuum it for him. Like,
No. Yeah, I get – I'm like, okay, hold on. We got to do the door jams or something. But his clients will drop out the cars washed, already ready to go. Like, wheels are clean. There's tire shine on it. My clients, like today, this guy, it was disgusting. Like, it's like a brand new Mustang. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Do you make your clients do that, Marty?
No, I don't say anything.
Yeah, you have to. I know you do.
This is part of their NDA.
They ask you. They say, so anything we should do before we bring it to you? Yeah, clean the shit out of it for me.
They sign an NDA that they have to wash it before I
tell them,
it.
Empty out your garbage, man. If you want that, if you want the compartment clean, take that shit out of there, because I'm not going to clean it if you got a bunch of paperwork in there.
Oh, yeah. Dude, okay, so I found in the back of this Mustang today, like 30 minutes ago, I pulled the seat up to vacuum the back, and it was – the carp was full of, like, wadded up pieces of tissue with blood on them.
What?
Oh. Disgusting. Yeah, exactly. Like, I freaked out.
I bet you
disgusting.
Did.
Yeah, you know me. I'm like, yeah. That's just – I went through about 10 pairs of gloves after I saw that. Like,
good time.
Yeah, disgusting.
Nice. Hey, so Steve, you've got a pretty unique logo, Shine Doctor, and you got a pretty good story that you told about it. But tell us again, you know, for here on the podcast, what made you choose that logo? Why did you like it? What's the symbol?
Well, at first I was going to do SNS with Steve Simmons. So I was going to do SNS auto detailing. But I was like, man, that's bland. Everybody does it, you know, or whatever. So my wife's a PhD. Like Center for Disease Control, she's a doctor, and so I was like, well, you know, I'm gonna be shining stuff, so I want to be a doctor too, you know, but I don't want to pay for the student loan, so I was like, I'll be a shine doctor, you know, PhD and something like that, and so that's where I came up with my name, Shine Doctor. And I didn't see a lot of people with the same kind of name. So I thought it was kind of unique. And it's a name that you have to live up to. If you're going to call yourself the Shine Doctor, you better be shining some shit.
Hell yeah, man.
Definitely. Well, no student loans. So you didn't get any training or anything? You just hopped right in?
I hopped right in, man. I'm a school of hard knocks. My dad taught me everything I know when it came to paint correction as a kid.
Cool. But the unique part, so that's the name. The logo isn't like a traditional doctor.
It's not really. It's kind of, I forget the guy that, kind of like the Rat Fink from the Hot Rods back in the day. You'd see it on a lot of the shit, stuff like that. I wanted a kind of a crazy looking, you know, creepy looking dude, you know. And so that's why I did that one. And it was bright and unique. And a lot of people dig it. You know what I mean? I mean, I could probably sell shirts and stickers all day and make good money just off my logo. I mean, I get a lot of requests for that stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's a very interesting logo. So did you go through and do the, you know, the full design work and go back and forth with somebody that designed it?
A gentleman called, I can't remember his name, but it's Master Creations. He's out of Southern Cali. And he's kind of a struggling guy as an artist. And I really liked his style. And so I sent him kind of what I wanted. It was a picture I ripped off of the internet. And I was like, well, I kind of like the way this dude looks. And he goes, well, I can make it way better than that. And he goes, if you want to PayPal me $250. And then, you know what I mean? You're like, oh man, here we go. I'm going to get ripped off. And so, he put the drawing together and he had me look at it. And I said, yeah, man, let's go with it. And he goes, okay, I'm going to create you a sticker version, a t-shirt version. And then whatever you want to do for a website version. And it's $250. So I sent him $250.
Nice.
He sent me over all of the files. And they're mine. And I own the rights to them. And it's good to go.
Yeah, that's awesome. I haven't done that where I found somebody on PayPal. But DJ, I think you've done some Fiverr. Or I did the way I found our logo is I did 99 Designs. DJ, what have you done? Have you done something like that?
Yeah, we did. It was Fiverr for a side venture that we're working on right now. So, they did good. It was quick too. And cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, the more you pay, the better you get. But it did the job.
Yeah, that's all that matters. I mean, the guy I found, he was on Instagram and some other detailer had some kind of rendering done. It wasn't really his logo. And I said, man, that's cool art. So I sent him a message and he was like, yeah, bro, I'll handle it, man. You know, it's like, sweet.
That's interesting. Yep. That's cool. All right, so DJ, I cracked open the beer. I'm taking it. I mean, it's super smooth, right? That's the Kolsch, which we were talking about when we were picking it out. Like, the Kolsch is a great summertime. It's very smooth.
What do you think? I mean, it's smooth. There's nothing that really stands out more than it's just a really smooth beer.
You're afraid of the honey. Can you taste the honey?
I cannot.
Yeah. Yeah, I get no honey either. But
like zero honey,
but this is perfect after mowing the yard. Like this is, and that's what Kolsch kind of says sometimes, like a summer after mowing.
So what exactly is Kolsch? If you can dive a little bit deeper into that.
Well, that would be wonderful to know if I knew what it was.
Okay. Well,
is that the brand of the beer, or is that a type of beer?
It's a style.
Type of beer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. We used to have somebody that would. Ian would start Googling it, right?
I was going to, but I'm staring at this blue Mustang that he has on his Instagram page.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, that's a nice color. Sorry. Sidetracked.
The lightning.
I don't like the front ends of the new ones, but that's freaking sexy.
I did
sexy.
A lightning blue one just before this one, and it's a cool color. It's a really cool color.
Let me get some of your followers. 8,398.
I don't know. You know what's funny about that too?
That's crazy.
For nobody.
You're the guy that you only follow 755. Yeah. Like, yeah, you can follow me, but I'm not going
to
follow you
because
back.
They're just I just don't have time to put through 1,000 followers. You know, I follow a lot of detailers, and I follow some personal people that I know that my cousin. That's the ones that I follow. But that's about the gist of it. And I don't do too much with that page anymore. It just kind of runs itself. I get about 250 to 300,000 hits a week on that page. It's insane.
Very cool.
That is crazy. So apparently Kolsch is a beer brewed in Kolding, Germany or something. Yeah. You know why you were doing that. It's a Pilsner malt. That's why we like that's the smoothness. So Pilsner, that's why you like it.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's that American.
Yeah, so this is basically like a German Pilsner, basically.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
All beer came derived from Germany and stuff like that anyway, so.
Yeah. All right, so topic number one, we got a couple topics we want to talk with you tonight. And so the first one we wanted to discuss with you, you know, how was it detailing out of your home? You know, what are some of the essential things? Because there's a bunch of guys, like the guys that are following you, the guys that we DM back and forth on Instagram. There's a bunch of guys that are starting their detail business or they've been doing it for a little while, you know, just out of their house. What are some things that you would recommend? You know, what's some essential things that you did to set up? And we're talking ground level, like when you were like, you're like, I'm stir crazy, but I want to start a detail shop out of my house. Like, what are the essential things that
a
you did?
Universal cleaner, a wash bucket, and a vacuum.
And a squat. Nice.
Free start. I mean, that's kind of the foundation for it. And you just grow from there. And as you make the money, you don't go out and buy a bunch of frivolous shit, you know, like, oh, the watch, or, you know, I need a stereo for my car. You just keep putting the money into the business and the money.
Bro, yes, preach.
So. But
so you start, that's the way you started with just three things,
real basic things. I had, you know, yeah, I had probably, I had some, yeah. And then I had some M21 Meguiar's sealant and a standard Porter Cable DA. And then I had my rotaries and stuff from when I was a kid, but, it's pretty much the gist of it, you know, and some microfiber towels. I mean, you don't need much when you're just doing standard detailing. I mean, an interior cleaner, you know, and you just learn as you go. It's just a process. I think the biggest thing for people is, like I said, is don't go out. You know, you get that check. You're like, oh, sweet, I just made $300 on a detail. I'm going to go out and go party on that tonight or go buy something. And you're sunk. You know, you're never going to get ahead. You're going to be stuck in the damn garage the rest of your life. Some people like being in their garage. I did for a little while there. It gets tight. It gets claustrophobic. And you start getting a little anxiety because it is illegal. Wherever you go in any state, it's illegal to detail out of your garage. If you're not if it's not zoned. I mean, you could detail on your private property, obviously, because you're not zoned in a neighborhood. But if you're in a neighborhood, like I see a lot of guys, they're just skimming by it. All it takes is one person to call the cops and you're done. You're shut down.
So I haven't ever run a shop out of a garage, but I detailed one time out of the garage.
Yeah. Did you?
DJ, you remember?
The Volvo?
No, that was a BMW that we did. Yeah, but that was my round one with Maker's Mark. And I just randomly picked up a bottle and I was like, DJ, let's try this. Because we had just started Green Clean, which is our waterless. And this was like 2008
or 2009. Okay, I just graduated.
Something like that. And and I was like, hey, DJ, we need to take some photos, like showing cleaning. And I was like, hey, I'll grab a bottle and we'll just kind of drink some. And we ended up smoking a cigar and just taking pictures. And that was not a good night. There was a lot of vomiting at the end of it.
Yeah, he was in the doghouse for a good couple days.
Yeah, and I was in the doghouse. So I've never really done much out of my own house as far as detailing. I started a chemical company.
Yeah. Which that's fine. You can. It's when you get one
started. DJ, what have you done? You kind of started your mobile detail business out of your house.
Right? I did, actually, yeah. So the guys would like show up each day at my house, open my garage. Like, I had supplies in there. I mean, it was like nicely set up, but still was my garage. And like it was cool at first because like we were in that like beginning of the growth phase where we had like, you know, two employees or team members. It was all right because they were like pretty close friends of mine too, because we worked so closely together. when we started hiring more people and I started firing guys, like, it just got really weird. So I had to get out of there pretty quick because they had my garage code. They knew where I lived. And it was just like, it was super awkward. Like, I'm in the house sleeping and like, they're like coming in at 6:45 to get the truck and get the supplies and like go to work. And I'm like, you know, snoozing and
it's
stuff.
Really
so,
garage deal is cool. Detail is cool and all, but you're also welcoming your home. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Kind
of worried me. I have three kids. I'm right to the teeth, but at the same
time, yeah, exactly.
I don't
want
to ever get to that. But yeah, you get weirdos. I had a couple weirdos come by when I was there, and I had to chase them out of there. Get the. I was like, damn, we got to get out of here, man. I don't like
it. It's like, I got to go back to your house to grab some supplies. I'm like out. My wife's home with the kids. Like, it's just like, no, I'm good, man. So yeah,
you'd still get the randoms that just want to stop by, and they come by, and I get people that stop by at like 7:30 at night. I'm like, these aren't even business hours, you know what I mean? They'd just be like,
right.
On my car, it's like, how about you call? And I'm closed, you know what I mean? That's just weird.
All right, I'm just chilling. Yeah, I get it. So.
All right, so DJ, let's look at this beer. Mm-hmm. When you taste it, like when you drink it,
I mean, literally, it's like, it's comparable to like a Coors Light or anything like that at all. Like now that you said that, it like put that in perspective. So it's definitely like a normal Americanized beer you can get in any local convenience store.
Right, but so this is a German style Pilsner. I think it's got more flavor than your Coors Light.
Like a tad bit more flavor. It's more smooth.
Tad?
It's a little more smooth than your typical American Pilsner, yes.
Tad,
but it's like, if you're gonna go, I wouldn't go out of my way to go buy this at a liquor store. I would just go to QT and get some whatever. I wouldn't go. I would never buy this again.
Oh wow!
I wouldn't. There's no way.
All right. Okay. All right. So, hey, topic number two, Steve. We wanted to hear the story. So you started out of your garage. DJ started out of his garage, and I guess the way I look at it, I started the chemical company.
Actually, I started out of an apartment complex. If you really go back further than that, like, I was in an apartment complex is where I started out of.
That's true. You're right.
I digress.
So I literally had 55-gallon drums stacked on top of each other in my garage.
It was horrible.
Like that's... That's how I start, like, two young kids, and you walk out, and you're like, oh, my word, what's that smell? Like, oh, don't worry about it. That's just chemicals. You know, like that. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It literally was. And then I was driving through Jinx, which is a town here. It's kind of a small suburb of Tulsa. And I just saw this little rent sign, and it was a great price. And, like, it was a hole-in-the-wall trash dump. But I was like, you know what? Maybe I should at least get someplace and get it out of my garage. So what was your story? Like, how did you end up moving out of your garage into your new, your new storefront?
Even before I had the cops called on me for detailing out of my garage, I already had.
Oh, you did? Oh, you really? You had the cops called on?
So.
So when they came, what'd they do? Like, you're sitting there cleaning a car and somebody.
Texture knockdown on that green 75 Vet. That Stingray, and the customer was there to pick it up, and the cop, I just was opening my garage door, and there's this bright-ass Kermit the Frog green Corvette in there that's just glossed out, and the customer pulls up, and the cop's rolling by. He's just rolling. He's not even wanting to talk to me, and then he goes, hey, now that I seen you, I got to talk to you. I go, talk to you on what, man? He goes, well, you know, I got a complaint that you're running a detail business out of your garage. That is not – we don't allow that in this city. You have to go get a commercial storefront to do that kind of stuff. And I said, you know, I'm mobile. I go up north. I go all over the place. I was coming up with excuse. You know, I just store the car, you know. And he goes, you know, I really like cars. I really don't give a shit what you do, but the law is the law. And so I already had this place in motion, and the guy that was in here was taking a sweet-ass time to move his stuff out. And so I was scrambling. And by that time, when they did that, really scrambling, because I was like, I can't. There's no shops to be had in my area because of marijuana. Because marijuana, what they do is they grow in the shops, they process in the shops, and they even open up full-on retail stores in these shops. And it's put a major premium on the shops around here. So we went from 50 cents a square foot to over a dollar a square foot in 2 years. So I'm paying more for rent on this house, on this shop, than I do for my house. And so...
Okay, so can we pause for a second? So we recently passed here in Oklahoma a law allowing medical. So explain that a little bit. So are you guys recreational, or where are you guys at?
Right, with the medical, that's how they kind of slip it in and start easing it in your butt. So what happens is get the medicinal going on, and then eventually they pass a law. And then they make it legal for you to, for everybody to get to marijuana at a certain way, and yada yada. But that's basically what
happened. And so all the growers just basically
they took over. They take over the. I am right in the middle of five major grows. It's like marijuana all the time outside.
Nice.
And I'll be honest, I'm an avid smoker. I do. I smoke a lot. But it's interesting, So I'm not against it, anything like that. It's just when you're trying to start a business and you start seeing, well, it's kind of getting away, then you get a little bit. But it's put a premium on shops. It's made shops scarce. And when they're building shops, they're tailoring
DJ, is that your background?
Yeah, sorry. Trey just walked in. We're just about to eat a late dinner and start working again here in a bit, so my bad.
Okay, no problem. I couldn't hear.
Sorry. One second. We'll get quiet in like 2 seconds. And we're good.
All right, Steve, go ahead.
So any shops that are being built around here, they take where I'm first. So they're exquisite. They got floors and all this crazy stuff you just don't need. Like, I just need four walls and a place to take all I need. And so they make it really nice and it's too much. So I got really lucky to find this place. He's a local powder coater. And he has a bunch of shops. And I kind of snuck my way in here without a lease. I was like, and he caught me in here. He's like, what? Who are you? Where's the guy that's renting the place? He said, well, I'm here, man. I'm ready to pay some rent. And he's like, no, that's not how I work. And I said, well, I understand that, but you need a tenant and whatever it takes, man. I go, I got a year's worth of rent for you right here. Here's $12,000 plus another $3,000 because you're going to be raising the rent anyways. And so I gave him $15,000 for a year's worth of rent.
Okay, whoa.
Cool. So he's fine. But, the weed industry is rooted up around here for the blue-collar guys that want to work on cars.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, how long was that process? How long did it quickly shift?
I'd say about a couple of years. Because there's simply so many licenses that are distributed, and then so the grower, they have a grower's license, and then they have a processing license, and then they have the retail license, and it's a monopoly. So no, it's not. So what they, it's not a, it's a, so they go in. It's a lottery. I'm sorry, I'm not. It's a lottery. So everybody goes in and they fill out their license, and then they do a lottery. They don't, not everybody gets picked. And only so many licenses are had. And what they do is that, and what they're doing is the city and the state are trying to recoup business tax. And they get a lot of tax from this. And there's a premium on it because it's marijuana. And so they want this business
because
they want the taxes to filter back into for roads and safety and all that kind of stuff. So what they do is they get that lottery going. Let's say they issue 75 licenses for each entity. And then they wait about a year and they see how things are going. They're like, well, the weed's really selling fast. Looks like we can give some more licenses. And before you know it, you're like me and I'm surrounded by the marijuana.
Yeah, that's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it goes here because a lot of people are already going, you know, hey, what can we do? How can we get involved? So it will definitely be interesting to see how it goes here. And I think we'll actually probably do a podcast on the effects of that, you know, especially as a state that's been so conservative and now they're opening up to a very – it's actually the most liberal law that was ever passed for – medical.
And it's like prohibition so, when it came to alcohol. Think of the millionaires it made from whiskey and beer. You know, when it was illegal, you know, everybody was still doing things under the table and they had places to go drink and hide out, whatever. And same things with marijuana. It's making a lot of millionaires. So that's how it works.
Yeah. Nice. All right. So what are some of the first things that you did once you got moved into your shop, you know, as far as when I say moved in, I anticipate to think that you took a lot of the stuff that you already had from your home. And once that guy allowed you to move in and you paid him, what are some of the first things that you did?
So it was a matter of just moving all my stuff over here. That wasn't the hard part. Believe it or not, it was removing me from my comforted area in my garage. Because I'm in the zone in there. You know what I'm talking about? And I know. Like, man, you take what you learn and you could do it anywhere. You can, but it takes a little while to adjust to that situation. So I came here and I was a little sad. I was like, oh, you know, kind of a little butthurt. I was a little pissed off at the neighbor that called the cops. You know, and you finally just filter through it and you get past it. And so I did a couple cars and just kept on loosening it up. And finally I got back into my zone and I'm very comfortable in here. And so I moved everything in here. And my first major purchase that I did was I bought a mid-rise scissor rack because I'm tired of working on the floor.
Yeah, that was the lift that you put in?
Dual ram mid-rise jack, yeah.
And I could totally get that because DJ makes fun of me because when I'm going around, you know, I'm half the time I'm complaining about I have to sit on a stool. Like, there's no way I can – bend down anymore. DJ's what, 29?
Marty, we don't have to talk about age in the podcast, okay?
And I'm 40. You're about to turn 41,
be,
I think, Steve.
I'll be 41 July 20th, but very fortunate, really good date. Better than most 20-year-olds. I'll run circles on most people.
Right, but at the same time, you starting to feel it is where I was going. Like, I think you had said that's why you put in the lift because you got tired of bending over so much.
Here's the other thing is that when you have a lift and you raise the – I'll say you have your points when you're correcting paint, your lower rocker, lower part of the panel. You can correct a car really fast on the hood and the trunk and all that stuff and pop because you're right on it. You've got to articulate to be able to bang down that paint. But when you get to the side and you get down low, it's kind of awkward. So it takes longer. And you get bendable. And so when you get the vehicle 3 or 4 feet off the ground, it's right at your face level. So you're able to get down, get that paint, and get it corrected out faster. And you can see better, too.
Nice. DJ, in about 10 years, you got to start learning some of these lessons.
In 10 years, hopefully I won't be working.
Right? That's my plan. Eventually bringing in, I got a mobile detailer that I'm going to try to bring in here in about a week or so. And a good interior detail. So on correction. But I think
that's all you need is a good interior guy, I'm telling you, man.
Because I don't really care to do interior work. I can ask that, but I really don't want to. I'd rather be correcting paint all day.
Really? Like, that's what you love to do that, man. That's
I
crazy.
I love correcting paint.
Like, all.
Yeah, I'm with you and DJ. You're the opposite, right? Like, you love interiors.
I'm gonna do interiors all day than do correction. Really? Like, for instance, like today, I'm like, "Hey Trey, I need your help really bad today." He's like, "Okay, what do you mean to do?" I'm like, "Correct the paint. I'll do the interior." He's like, "All right, I got you." I'm like, "All right, sweet. Like, perfect team." Like,
yeah. I work on. So I do split shifts because I've got kids. I still stay at home with the kids. Technically, they come here. I have a nice common area, living room, air conditioned. So it worked out well. So I do split shifts. I'll come here from 9 to 2. I'll go home with the kids for a couple hours, and then I'll come here to about 5 o'clock, and I'll work till 2 a.m. I'll bang on paint for 13, 14 hours a day or 16 hours a day if you let me. Nonstop. I love doing it.
Hmm.
Hey, to each their own.
Did you just say you will work till 2 a.m.?
Oh, that's my dude, man. What's up? That's what I do on a probably once a week, Marty, right? Once every couple weeks or so. I'll work till 2, 3 in the morning.
A lot of the good paint correctors, they work at night. And it's just – it's the creature of the night thing. It's really interesting. I don't know. I have more energy at night when I'm working on cars.
My thing is the phones. The phones don't ring. The team members don't have any problems. Like, there's no issues at all in the field. Like, it's just nighttime. Everybody's asleep.
Exactly. I'm in the industrial park. Yep. Everybody's gone. All you can hear crickets and me running my buffer. That's it. And that's all I –
I think the times I like to work at night are because technically it's off peak hours. Like,
that's what I just said, cool. Marty.
No, if you come in during the regular hours and I'm drinking a beer, that's it's not kosher. But if you're at 10 or 11 o'clock and you're working on paint, having a cold one, that's okay.
I mean, I have a kegerator. It's not here. It's at the house. And I do drink occasionally. It's not that I don't drink it, that I just don't drink a lot. I mean, I was a pretty heavy drinker. And my ex-wife at that, and she's kind of, I don't want to be any part of what she's like.
No, I get it. You know, we definitely talked about my ex-wife. Don't get me started.
No, please don't.
Definitely. All right, so you bought the lift. What else did you buy when you moved into the shop?
Some rubber flooring, and I just put everything together. I had a bulk of stuff. I was preparing for this shop for a while, and I was just taking the money that I was making and putting it into the business, just constantly cycling, paying my taxes and putting it into the business. And I'm very fortunate because my wife. Because don't worry about putting any money in the household. I want you to invest in your business so it'll grow. She's a very smart woman. So I was like, yeah, I agree. And it's very rare because usually you're not in that situation where your wife making triple digit. Usually you're both making – you're lucky to be making $60,000, $70,000 a year as a couple. And you have to put that money into the family to survive. And then your business never really gets to prosper like it should.
Yeah. Steve, are you connected to Wi-Fi? Because we're skipping out every once in a while. Okay.
I'll get right next
time. All right, we'll keep going.
All right.
There we go.
I didn't want to be in the office. It echoes. Can you hear me now or does it sound weird? Okay, so.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, so it's just a lot of – I'm just real fortunate because I didn't have to put a lot of money into my household. And so my wife makes good money, and I was able to just put my money into the shop. Into the business, and my business is grown phenomenally. I got to get help here at some point. I'm scheduled into the mid-September right now, which isn't too sexy, I guess you could say, because I'm so scheduled out. But it is what it is, and but people are willing to wait for me because it's where they go. I mean, the whole county, they don't have anybody but me.
So how long do they wait? Like what? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? Four weeks?
They got to wait until mid-September right now.
Whoa.
Yeah. Mid-September. And I've got two more appointments coming by tomorrow for scheduling, and they're going to wait till October. And they want it done right, and that's the thing. And they're willing to wait. And some of these cars aren't daily drivers, so they're not in a big rush. They're show cars, so they're like, whatever, gotcha. I'll wait. It's not a big deal. I just want you to do it. But I do have people. I do have people that Uber, so they'll drive their vehicle like 2 hours away from me, drop their car off, and Uber it back to their house, and then Uber it back when I'm done. And I had one guy from Idaho, which is another state over, drove his Mustang to me, stayed in a hotel while I corrected it, And then, you know, we got done with it. And I mean, by the time he got done with me, $1,300 for a correction in ceramic and his hotel, I mean, and food and time, you're talking about like $3,000 for me to work on a car. I mean, that's just crazy. But he had to let me do it.
Hey, that's a good customer.
Heck yeah.
Hey, so Steve, what do you think are some of the pros? And can you definitely, let's start with the pros. What are the pros of if you're talking to somebody that's out of their garage and trying to move into a shop, or let's just say they're still in their garage. Let's not even go there. Say they're still in the garage. What are the pros that you would tell them of why they should move to a garage or their own spot?
It puts you in a different light. Because here's the thing, when someone pulls up to your own home, they kind of, he's working out of his home. Is this guy legit? What am I getting myself into? That's the one thing. When you get into the shop, you're in a professional facility. You have the space, and you're able to you're just able to broadcast your business differently. And you're not so worried about coming by because it's not your home, it's your shop. So if they just come by, you're like, oh, whatever, I don't care, it's a business, it's the way it is. So I mean, those are some of the things that I feel are pros. The cons,
hold on, DJ, what do you think? Like, what as you moved from your house into an actual spot and you're mobile, what do you think the pros are for people?
Moving out of like pretty much home base versus like mobile.
Uh huh. Well, you were mobile the whole time.
Okay.
But great. you were mobile out of your house. Now you're mobile out of a facility, out of a shop.
Yeah, it gives us a little bit more credibility in a sense. Like we feel a little bit more established. Kind of like we're actually. I mean, established is definitely I think the word for it, but. Before, like, people say, hey, we'll drop by and drop off some stuff to you, or can we just stop by and get this, or blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it's – you kind of have to be creative with your answers. Like, I don't want to say, hey, it's out of our home. It's like, oh, no one's usually at the office during the day because we're mobile, so blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, yeah, sure, come on by. Like, you know, we've got, you know, a nice little office area now where people can stop by and pick up, you know, a supply here and there or drop off a car or whatever have you. Like, so we just – it's kind of just a greater sense of, like,
it kind of created you a little bit more flexibility too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I kind of separate from the business more too, and kind of give the guys some more, the team, you know, more sense of freedom opposed to just being up under me the whole time. Like I've noticed a shift in our culture since it's been here versus at my home. Like it's just, it's completely separated. So
yeah,
it's just been great.
What I think about the best thing for me is that I'm able to walk away from my work and enjoy my quiet time at
yes.
home.
Yes,
absolutely.
In my garage, it's constantly whispering me from every angle of that house. Come work on me. Come work on me. I would never stop. I mean, I'd start at 7 a.m. or 6 or 7 in the morning, and I'd work till 2 a.m. every night. And I was cranking out more cars, but I was killing myself at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I get it. All right. So, any cons, DJ? Any cons to moving from your house to a place?
Absolutely not. No. There's. Yeah. Yeah. No.
The con would. What about you, Steve?
Overhead.
Okay. Yeah, that's hey, what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. But I was going to. I didn't want to interrupt. I was going to let you guys go. Yeah, you definitely now have rent,
like
right?
$15,000 to $16,000 a month payment a year with the power. So that's.
Well, my landlord's a dick, so I mean, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, but I'm on a well, which is nice. Propane. So.
Sorry, my landlord's Marty.
So do you? Yeah, that's why he called me a dick. I wasn't gonna go there, but you know,
it's fine.
It's fine. So you're on a well, so you wash cars with well water?
No, I have a CR spotless. Spotless, it's a water filtration system for deionized water.
Okay, but the water still comes out of the well.
Yeah, it comes out of the well, but it goes through the filtering process.
Right, right, right. I get it. I'm just saying, like, that's really cool. I haven't – there's only a couple people that I know residentially that, you know, they'll use well water to water their yards or, you know, to do different things. But I haven't heard of businesses that had well water. That's a pretty lucky thing, right?
And, yeah, that's what I – when I got here, I didn't know it had a well. And the neighbor comes over and we were talking. He goes, it's really nice. I don't have to pay for water because we're on a well. Look at him and go, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a plus. And, you know, it's got a gas heater in here. But when you're working, you really don't need it that warm. You just want to take the chill off the air around here in the wintertime. And it never gets really, really hot around here for air conditioner. But I have an air conditioner in my office. So if I get really hot, I can come in here and take a look.
Yeah, the other day I sent DJ, I sent Steve a message, and we were, what were we, like 90, 98 or something? 98 or 99, I think it was Friday? I think it was Friday, and then that's when that little random little storm went through, with the little thunderstorm, and it dropped down to...
Lower 80s.
Yeah, low 80s, like we dropped 20 degrees, it was so wonderful. But what do you guys normally get? What temperature do you guys get up there?
We're pretty moderate. So we're in the winter between the 40s and 50s, and we occasionally freeze every once in a while. We get snow twice or three times a year. And then in the summertime, we're just starting to warm up right now. We've been in the we've had a few 80-degree days, but starting tomorrow, we'll be getting 85s, and we'll hit the 90s and stuff like that. But it's short-lived, so because we're close to the ocean, so weather will push in from the ocean, and it's like native air cooling off for weeks, and then it'll heat up again. So you don't really acclimate to it, so you're like, oh, it's nice and 70, it's nice, and then boom, 85, 90 hits, and it kicks your butt.
Wait, yeah, but the most you get is 85, 90.
We do get in the upper 90s and stuff like that. In August, we'll get a couple weeks of it, but it's nothing.
Okay, so that's not, yeah. I get it. All right, so, hey, DJ.
Yes.
Let's rate this beer, right? 1 out of 5. Rogue Honey Kolsch.
I give it a 3.
Okay. Because,
yeah, it's just a typical basic beer. Like that, it throws you off because the pack, like the label of the beer, looks like it'd be like a really good, like something's great, but it's just not so much. It's just as soon as you said Pilsner and related to like a normal American beer, like it made sense. So that kind of just threw it for me.
That's why I'm surprised that you give it a 3, because Pilsner is...
Trey likes it. Trey thinks it's a 5. Trey just rated it a 5.
Trey rated it a 5.
He rated it a 5. He flipped me off, actually, because I rated it a 3 and looked at me like, why did you rate this a 3? So we're going to go 4 since he rated it a 5 and I rated it a 3. And he gave me a thumbs up, so we're good there.
All right. I'm probably going to stay in that same ballpark you were. I'm going to go at a 3.5 because, I mean, the Kolsch part is good. This would, like, this is actually almost even better than typical summer sandy, the summer shandy, because it's so smooth. Like, it's so light and it's so refreshing. It would be really great, but the negative of the pros and cons, the cons is because it's so light, there's very little taste and very little flavor to it. I think this is why you gave it a 3.
Probably.
Yeah. So, but I'm going to go 3.5. I think it's a pretty good beer. I think it's got a good, decent flavor. You wouldn't buy it again. I actually probably would buy it again because I think it's a good beer to crush after you've mowed the yard.
I think the alcohol content on it's not high enough for me to rate it more than a 3, Marty. We're in liquor store. I was like, yeah, Marty, it's like a 5.4 though. He's like, you're just like, yeah, I just, I don't know. I go for the high alcohol content beers. It's 5.2. Hey. You're right. 5.2. Not high enough.
It is what it is. All right. Hey, Steve. So this is the part of the podcast where we're tabbing out. We're tabbing out. We've had a couple beers just at the end of the night. And, you know, we're tabbing out. We might be a little tipsy. And we've got a question. So there's always the guest has a tipsy topic question. We're going to call it the tab out question because we're kind of tabbing out towards the end. And so, DJ.
Yes, Marshall.
Do you have a tipsy topic tab out question for Steve?
Sure. I will think of one off the dome for Steve. Let's see here. It's like, what, 2:30 in the morning, Marty? Like,
yeah.
We're pretty drunk.
No. The
1:45.
They close at 2. So 1:45. We're about 1:45, 1:50. You got to tab out. And you're still sitting at the bar taking down your last beer.
You're right.
You look over and Steve's sitting there.
Like, what, bro, are you asking? Like, bro, your name's the Shine Doctor, bro. Like, like, how have you used that to benefit, like, you know, your sex game? With your wife. I mean, you got to use that in a way, like, one night with your wife, you know, your little tips, and you're like, hey, I'm the Shine Doctor. Let me shine that out. You know, come on, like, let's hear it.
I haven't really even thought of it that way, to be honest with you.
Come on, man.
Oh, I like the question, DJ. Nice question.
Thank you. Thank you.
She's the doctor, and then I'm the doctor.
Oh, she's a doctor?
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, that's definitely like a costume type evening right there.
Absolutely, man.
Oh, yeah, man. It's cool, man. It's a cool title to be had. And you gotta keep up on the game, but
you know what? You need to take my advice and look, and you gotta figure something out. Because now that I know she's a doctor too, like, you guys can spice some stuff up.
Your doctor,
you know.
Yeah.
The question would be, who's going to be the nurse and who's going to be the doctor?
That's a way better question, Marty. Good job.
It depends on who likes getting their oil checked.
No. Oh!
Wow. I think this is the best tipsy topic segment on the podcast ever.
That's awesome.
That is perfect. Thank you for being a team player.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great tab out question. All right, hey, Steve, man. So you're big on describing a lot in your videos, like when people will go and watch your videos, you're very descriptive. You do an incredible job of that, which is probably why you have so many followers on your Instagram page. My question to you, and this is definitely not the tipsy topic, this is just the closing thoughts. So my question to you as a closing thought to detailers, why do you do it? Like, why are you so descriptive, and why should detailers also be so descriptive? Well,
there's a lot of things, and you're probably, you guys are kind of a little blindsided to the fact of why I do that. And for me, as the top dog detailers out there, and I'm not going to name any, they make it look like what they do, nobody else can do.
Bro, oh my God, say, preach.
Nah, I can do it. Want, you can do it too if you apply yourself. Okay? It's not what you're going to do overnight. It's going to take time. But I want to know that those top dog detailers, those wet sanders, those guys, they probably don't even work on cars anymore. They their employees' cars saying they did that.
Absolutely.
And I want them to know that this is the process, and you can do it too, okay? And you don't have to worry about bowing down to these top dog detailers, okay? I have respect for those guys. I talk to them constantly. They give me shit. But I came out of nowhere. I came out of, in the last 2 years. I came out of right left field. And they're kind of looking at their scratching their head saying, who the hell is this? And why is he debunking everything? And I'm like, this isn't rocket science. This type of paint correction can be done by painters and paint shops. And they're reinventing the wheel. They're not. They're taking an drops in a plane. And that's the fact.
So I think, I don't, DJ, did you hear everything of that? Or did it break up on your side too?
No, I definitely did. And I applaud you for even bringing that up, because like a lot of these young guys like look up these like big time detailers that are like putting themselves out there as like, I don't know, like detailing gods, when in all actuality, like, you know, they're really not doing the work themselves. So, I mean, yeah, I definitely heard of it.
It is.
I have the same mentality. Like, it's just, you got to be, it's stay in your lane. Like, I think that's kind of what you're saying, right? Like, just stay in your lane. Like, just, you know, stay in your lane, do your business, market your demographic, mm-hmm. make your money. Don't worry about, because honestly, I will be transparent. Like, I was that guy before. When I first started, I looked up the guys. I won't name them either, but the guys that are just like on this pedestal now. And now I know these guys. It's like, bro, you weren't really like, you're doing something, but you're not really doing what I thought you were doing.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I'm at, and not to put myself on a pedestal, but I'm at the level now to where I'm, you know, I'm that guy to where people probably look at me and say, "Hey, man, you're doing so great." It's like, no, dude, no. Like, let me tell you my struggles. Like, there's so much stress that comes with having a business that's this big. That's, I mean, you know what I mean? It's just not all like flowers and dandelions. Like, it's just not all like perfect. Like, there's so much stress that goes involved with being like at the level that I'm at, like other guys that are in this arena too. Yeah. So, yeah, I heard them, like, for sure.
Loud and clear. And the other thing that kind of killed is all-star detailers. They do a great job with product placement.
Absolutely.
And they all start with C's, and we know who they are. And they get an all-star detailer, have them all over the state. And they have followers on the and their product placing, and it sucks you in. You're like, oh, man, those products he's using, he's for work. I want to be like that guy. I want to do all those kinds of things to get the product.
So, and not to interrupt you, but I saw a post you put recently that was like it was a meme. It's like, pretty much guys were asking you, "Hey, what do you use? What do you use? What do you use?" And you're just like, "Hey, man, it's not about what you use. Just do the work. Like, don't worry. Don't get caught up in, you know, this product, this company, this brand. Just do the work. Like, you know, in the beginning, if I can go back to where, you know, when I first started, I would just buy the bare minimum. I got so caught up in the you know, this product for this and this for that and this for that, and like wasted so much money on products and not like honing my own skill. You know what I mean?
I know that not every product works for every type of substrate. And that's the way it goes. But you don't need to buy seven types of ceramic from one company for each set. Oh, this one's for steel. This one's for plastic.
That's so stupid.
For that. I'm like, it's all SiO2. What the hell are you talking about?
Exactly. I mean, there's some that has different ratios of SiO2. There's some that has, you know, for wheels and boats and marine and stuff. I mean, there's that. But I get what you're saying.
But when somebody can come out with a vinyl wrap coating and it becomes the SEMA product of the year, like, that's a little far-fetched.
It's way far-fetched. Way far-fetched. People say, you can't coat a vinyl. Yes, you can. Like, I've coated my truck with 105, like, and I do it probably once a year just because, like, I don't want my vinyl to fade. Yeah. Like, it's there's no stipulation. It's like, you just coat it. Like, you protect it. Like, there's no, these vinyl shops saying don't put coatings on vinyls. Like, shut up. Like,
it's great. And it converts the matte finish to a proper finish. Yeah. It looks cool.
Exactly. It's like a subtle hint of gloss. Like, subtle.
So subtle.
Satin.
Yeah, that's my biggest gripe, and I do it, and I like to poke fun and stuff, like that meme and stuff. We've got that goofy looking dude, and he's like, you know,
what do I use?
And I'm like, right. You know, man, it's not about the products, it's about who you are and how you handle it. Can you apply it, you know? And I get a lot of questions, and I'll be honest with you, I don't answer a lot of them. I'm just like, hey, what kind of buffer is that? I'm like, no, delete.
Yeah, that's funny. So how many DMs from all the different followers do you get?
Well, for a while there, I was getting between 75 and 100 every couple days. And now 45 because I've cut. I just got to the point, and I unfollowed like 8 people, and they get offended when you do that. Oh,
seriously?
I'm like, oh, cool. I'll just block you while I'm at it.
Wow.
So,
cool. Well, Steve, thank you so much for your time, DJ. Both you guys, DJ's in the middle of working, so he took the time out to come onto the podcast. DJ, thank you so much. Steve, also, you know, you were there tidying up. A lot of great info on how, you know, the pluses and minuses of being in a shop or being in a home, how to go in a home to a shop. So, guys, thank you both for your time. Steve, what is your social media handle? I know you don't want people to DM you, but, you know, for people that want to follow you and look at your work, what's your social media handle?
My social media handle is just shine_doctor on Instagram, and that's it. That's the only time I use.
Okay, sorry. We can't leave it at that. Sorry. So why only Instagram?
Because Facebook is dead, man. Facebook sucks, and it just doesn't work.
It really does.
And I'm able to control Instagram so much better than Facebook. I salt the earth with hashtags. And it just works a lot better. And people are more into just flipping through stuff, looking at pictures. Facebook has ads, and it just goes on and on. There's too much going on with Facebook.
Okay. So it's more, I would think Instagram is more industry specific for our industry because we can showcase our work. I mean, at the end of the day, we're artists. The cars are our canvas. And so we can display on Instagram our work.
And that's why I like it. Take a picture, you know, you write a little phrase and you copy and paste your hashtags and you move on.
Nice. That's just, you're the first person that's only ever had
Instagram. That's all I do.
Nice. DJ, what are your social media handles?
Personal is going to be at DJ Patterson, and the business is at EcoGreen MD, is in mobile detailing.
All right, and before we close, Steve, I know you've tried to come to SEMA. You want to. Are you going to be at SEMA this year?
I have a massive amount of invites there, and I'm just trying to juggle the kids as usual. I'm really put some good thought into it. I think I do need to go there. A lot of detailers want to meet me, and I think it's feasible. I'll know
here. Just come Tuesday.
I'll know closer.
That's it. Come Tuesday. Fly in Tuesday morning. Fly out Tuesday night.
No, that's like, what I'm thinking. I'm going to go in maybe for a day the most.
No, you can't fly out Tuesday night. You got to fly out Wednesday morning.
Right. Wednesday morning. Yeah, Wednesday morning.
It's in October, right?
Yeah. So October 30th is the Tuesday. October 31st is the Wednesday. You definitely have to be back for the 31st so you can take your kids out trick-or-treating.
Yep. Exactly. This is true. Even though it's raining.
That's true. So so we want to, unless it's raining, right? We want to cordially invite you on Tuesday, October 30th. We are going to be doing a Pints and Polishing event at SEMA. Okay. And the first 75 people that come get to drink for free from 8 to 10 o'clock.
That's cool.
At the Gordon Biersch Brewery.
Well, I got a little bit of knowledge for you guys. I've never been on an airplane before in my entire life.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm like John Madden. I'm so afraid of airplanes. I'm trying to figure out.
So are you gonna get a bus?
Well, I'm in Washington. I could technically drive down to Nevada. It'd probably take me a day. So but yeah. I'll probably fly. It's about time to break my cherry and get on an airplane.
That means he's probably coming, Marty.
That means he's coming.
I do. I want to come, definitely. And it's just a matter of the juggling. And my, I just got to coordinate with her. We've been talking about it. And she wants me to go.
All right. You should go. I mean, if you're a car guy, you've been raised since your dad looking at cars, like, you should go. There's so many things there. And you should definitely make it for Tuesday the 30th at Gordon Biersch Brewery from 8 to 10 o'clock. All the beer you can drink.
Nice. Well, I'll keep in touch with you guys, and it's tentative right now, but I'm pretty sure I'm leaning that way. I'm going to go. So,
heck yeah, man. Awesome. I'll see you there.
Hey, guys, thank you so much for your time. Yeah, DJ, as always, the time you spend, thank you so much. Hey, Steve, have a wonderful night, man.
Hey, guys, thanks a lot for the time, and I appreciate it.
All right. See you.
Good talking to you, man.
Bye.
Hey, have a good night, guys.
Thanks you too, bro.
Bye.